Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Everybody, welcome to The Session. I'm your host, Justin Crosley, as always. And today, I'm in South Lake Tahoe, California, at South Lake Brewing Company, a brewery that I've been to several times, but I've never officially met the two of you. I've met Nicole briefly at my beer festival. South Lake Brewing has come down to Spring Fest, Nicole, at least for 2 years,
I would say, yeah. Almost a handful of times, I think.
Which I love because we don't get a lot of faraway breweries that come out, and that bums me out. I don't want just like the local Bay Area breweries. So I'm always so stoked that you say yes.
Yeah.
And Chris Smith, you guys are married, of course, uh-huh. And Chris is the head brewer here at South Lake. So thanks for having me, Chris.
Yeah, of course. Welcome. Yeah, Spring's Brewers Fest was really fun this year. It actually landed on my birthday, so
nice.
I got to come down, hang out with a bunch of brewers, and have a good time.
So. Well, and I just found out when I got here, you have a designated driver, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? So, yeah. I worked that into the schedule for Spring Brews Fest.
And Nicole's having a child.
Yes.
You two are having a child. Is it your first?
No, it's actually our second.
Your second?
So
okay.
I've been joking lately that we started a brewery, had a kid, and then started another brewery. And now we're having another kid.
Okay.
It's another tap room, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Don't start another brewery unless you want more kids.
I know, right?
Well, that's congratulations, though. That's
Thank
exciting.
You.
Thanks.
So Nicole's just sipping with us today.
Yep.
And I guess we're not leaving you too far behind because this is a rare occasion. We're doing a morning recording, which I don't usually do. So we'll just be sipping, too, I assume.
Yep.
I told you guys, if it was a 6 p.m. recording, this would be a different show.
Yeah.
You know. So the brewery's not open yet, for the day, I mean, and so we've got to hang out in the tasting room here, which is just, I think it's a beautiful tasting room. You guys have really spaced it out the right way. You can see the brewery. It looks like you took up plenty of space for the brewery, which is a good idea, right?
More to go
But
well.
Left plenty of space for the tap room. So yeah. I assume that most of your business happens over the counter, or are you guys pretty widely out there? In off-premise?
It actually, I mean, volume-wise, right now, right before we opened the second tasting room down the road in the same town, it was like 60% volume to wholesale.
Okay.
And 40% to through the tasting room.
I see.
And we're extremely seasonal, too, so it changes every month.
Okay. So that sort of brings us to an interesting topic, too. So Lake Tahoe just had all of the Sierras just had this epic snowmageddon winter.
Yes.
I think you guys, it's your second most snow you've ever gotten.
Yeah,
in all history.
Recorded history. Yes.
Yeah. I think the last, I was trying to read about it cause we'll talk about this throughout the show. I just love it up here. And I think the last time you were beaten by this much snow was like in the '50s. So
yeah.
It's really like, so before we were all around,
right.
Was the last
yeah.
time you got.
They probably didn't even have snow blowers at that time, which really sucks.
That right? would be horrible.
So I actually picked up skiing again this season. I grew up doing it. And anyway, I bought myself 4 passes and I came up 3 times during the winter and only got to go once because getting stormed out. Like one of the times I made a pretty difficult trek over the pass to get here. I've got a 4-wheel drive. And so I just made it happen. You know, stormy the whole time. But then by like 4 a.m., it clears up, right? But it dumped I don't know how much snow. But the next morning, it's gorgeous out. So I go to the gondola, and there's all the staff there. And I'm like, and I'm trying to just walk on the gondola. And they're like, no, we're closed. Okay. And I'm going, well, why are you closed? They said, well, because we got too much snow. And I've got to admit to you, I was a little pissed off. Like, you have one job. And if you came to the Hop Grenade, and I said, I'm sorry, we're closed today because we received too much beer. Would anybody accept that as a reasonable excuse to be closed?
Definitely not.
No, it's absolutely ridiculous. Actually.
Now, in fairness, I do understand the lifts were actually buried in snow.
Correct.
So it's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. They had to dig themselves out. We were digging ourselves out twice a day.
Wow.
But we were actually open more times than the ski resorts were.
Is that right?
During those storms.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
So we kept it open. People were excited because everyone was so over shoveling and snow blowing all the snow.
But I bet.
They needed a beer.
There was one day where people were literally like cross-country skiing here, snowmobiling here.
Just down the roads?
Yeah, just to grab a beer.
Wow.
It was great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I didn't think much about that. What I did think of is on one of the times I did come here, and the one time I got to ski, it was a bunch of fake news about the storm that time.
Oh.
Okay, but the news down in the Bay Area is very alarmist about weather up here.
Uh-huh.
And I was talking to some bar staff, and they're pretty annoyed about it because it was a beautiful sunny day and on a weekend, and the Bay Area stayed home because of what the news said. So I assume that affects you guys too.
Yeah, it does. So this year was really hard for businesses in general because the snow seemed to always fall on the weekends. It always started on Friday, didn't end until Monday. So, of course, all of the, you know, transportation agencies were saying, don't come.
Right.
And yet, for the most part, there was ways to get up here and have a good time. But, yeah, there were some days where it was like, okay, yeah, no one should leave any or come up here.
Sure.
So.
Well, that was the day I came, for sure. I just wanted the adventure. I don't really care. But I felt like I was kind of understanding for Tahoe that it's already difficult enough to be a seasonal location. But then within the seasons, when you're dealing with things like that, it makes it even harder. You almost can't plan for anything all winter long, I would assume.
Yeah. I mean, just a shout out to our locals and our regulars. Like, they just always came, no matter what. I mean, we have a weekly trivia night on Thursdays. And I kid you not, there was one or two weeks, especially during Christmas, that I was like, we probably need to call it and cancel it. And yet still 20 teams showed up.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had the whole tap room full on those nights. And it's just
so
incredible.
Now, here's what I love about that. In the Bay Area, we had some stuff happen like that with just rain, where things got canceled for, like, we had these, we have these summer concerts out in the park in front of us. Maybe this one wasn't even rain. This was a heat wave. And they canceled the concert, which super affects my business at the Hop Grenade. And it was one of the last ones of the season. We were really looking to cash in. And I got super annoyed and kind of felt like, you know, in Tahoe and other places, they deal with these things a little. They don't just cancel at the drop of a hat.
Right.
You just go out and deal with it.
Yeah.
Be safe, right?
Yeah.
Put on your cross-country skis and whatever. So I like that you guys have to be sort of more resilient, I guess, is what I'm getting at. And not just you, your customers.
Yeah. I mean, this was just one thing that's happened in the last 3 years. You know, first
right.
we had COVID.
Yeah.
And we were shut down twice throughout 2020, 2021, early 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a major wildfire in September of 2021.
That's right. That came really close to the town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So talk about resiliency.
Oh my gosh.
We've lived through it all right now. I mean, in the last 3 years.
What happened here during the fire business-wise? Did you guys just close for that?
So we actually closed for only a week.
Okay.
It was interesting. My staff was very willing to, as long as like their health wasn't affected, they were still willing to be here. I mean, we're sitting in one of the largest indoor communal spaces in all of South Lake Tahoe.
Yours?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if you don't count the casinos.
Right.
One of the larger ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the casinos were open the whole time.
Well, they got generators, they got everything.
Yeah, I mean, they're dealing with cigarette smoke all the time, so.
And not closed for COVID closures either?
They're I guess they're in Nevada. Yeah,
absolutely. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah. Don't even get me started. Okay, so anyway, so we were actually only shut down for a week, but most of town left ahead of the actual evacuation orders. Some people stayed, you know, the diehards. And then a week later, we were back because the firefighters were just, it was miraculous. I mean, literally no structures burned, no people harmed.
It is miraculous.
Within the city limits and the greater surrounding area of South Lake Tahoe. It was just so cool.
So I've seen a little bit of that just driving through. It showed me how amazing the firefighters are and how they obviously have to prioritize human life and structures. And not it's not just here. It was another fire burn that I drove through. You could see just that everything around had burnt to the ground except a house. Yep. Like they somehow saved a house, right? But everything around you could imagine was just Armageddon. And I saw so many places like that where they really know what they're doing, if and I assume a bit of luck, to save structures like that. That's crazy. Yeah. Did you two evacuate yourselves?
Yeah, we were actually a lot closer to where the fire actually finally stopped.
Okay.
At our house. It's probably about a quarter mile away.
Wow.
Where it actually stopped.
It's just right there. Oh, yeah. That must be terrifying.
Yeah. We were watching basically journalism happen on Facebook and showing video of like driving down the local streets. Like,
right.
Hey, the fire's right here on top of us. And yeah, like Nicole said,
terrifying.
A miracle.
Yeah.
They were able to fight off the fire, keep all the structures within the basin, you know, upstanding. And
yeah. Where'd y'all go?
Santa Cruz.
Okay.
Yeah. We definitely went to Santa Hidarius and
there you go.
Humble Sea.
You needed a beer.
Lived it up.
Yeah. You like really needed a beer. That's fine.
Yeah. I think it was either August 30th or August 31st where we were walking around the neighborhood that we were staying at and had the most surreal conversation about like, what if everything just burns like tomorrow? What are we going to do?
All your stuff. I mean, just everything.
Yeah. Where are we going to build a new brewery?
Yeah. Do you have fire insurance? I'm sorry if that's a personal question, but that came up a lot, like whether or not people are covered.
So currently we still do.
Yeah.
And then I believe the state of California is really fighting to make sure that insurance companies still
provide
some basic fire insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's already that you can't really get earthquake insurance unless you pay out the nose for that.
Yeah, they're making it more and more difficult.
Right.
But while we were sitting in Santa Cruz, we were coming up with this grand plan to move all the beer that we already had in stock because we basically had a full cold box.
Wow.
The tanks were all good. They're all, you know, crashed and just waiting.
Okay, but you had full tanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were just trying to figure out, okay, we might be closed for a month or more.
Right.
How do we get this beer out before it goes bad?
No kidding.
And so we were talking to the city officials. We were talking to ABC. We had this grand plan of grabbing a box truck from New Glory to let us borrow that, come up and grab all of our beer and then bring it off site in order to hold it
and then
do deliveries that way and hit Sacramento, hit, you know, the areas that were unaffected. So,
and you talked to ABC about that?
Yeah. And it was all ready to go. And we saw what happened to the towns along the way during the fire. And they, you know, didn't get back in for a month or more into their house. So, we had it all set up. And then they were like, okay, well, a little over a week later and we're back in. So
amazing.
We didn't have to pull the trigger on that plan, but everyone came together and like, we're willing to help.
That's kind of fun to figure it all out.
Yeah, a little
like
bit of
beer
a challenge.
Evacuation.
You know, I kind of said that about COVID and running the hop grenade. Like after a while, it got to not be fun. But for a minute there, the challenge was a little bit exciting. Like just figuring out how to survive. I don't know. I'm just kind of an adrenaline junkie like that. Of course, then you take a breather later and you're like, fuck all that. But for a minute, the challenge is a little bit exciting. Well, so luckily you got back here. The whole valley must have just been filled with smoke too, I imagine.
Yeah. Even for a few weeks after they had really, you know, the fire was still burning in places, but they had it contained. And so smoking here, we had all kinds of air purifiers going.
Got it.
And, you know, we were one of the first places back open on our street here.
Okay.
And everyone was so excited.
Really?
They just got back and everyone wanted to commiserate and talk yeah. about it. So we're better to do it.
Oh, I would have liked to see that. I bet that was just a cool experience for you guys too.
Yeah. Yeah. It was incredible.
We also did a really cool thing, just real quick. We put on our website, hey, like once we're all back in town and the firefighters can come pick up these gift cards and we'll even mail them. Like we gave our customers the opportunity to literally buy a gift card at our place for a firefighter.
Nice.
And so we had like two different forms. You could either buy a gift card or you could get a gift card. And all they had to do was, and firefighters and first responders, all they had to do was fill out basic information like where they work, what's their role. And then we sent them a gift card. So that was really neat to see. I think we raised over, it was almost $2,000, right?
Wow. Yep.
And then we matched a little bit too.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what a great thing to do. Firefighters need beers. Come on.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Of course. That's off the clock, but yes.
Yeah. Especially after that. Yeah.
What a great idea. And they must have, you had firefighters coming from all over the country, I think. Yeah. So
yeah.
All over the world, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that sort of leads me to just about you guys choosing Tahoe in this unique area too. And I do want to talk about the challenges of being a brewery in Tahoe, but first, you founded in 2017, right?
Correct.
Okay. But you I read that you moved back from Southern California.
Yes.
So you're Tahoe natives though. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We actually met in high school.
Here.
So like right down the road.
Got it.
Yes.
Cool. But then you went away for college or something? Or?
Correct.
Yeah. We both went to Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo.
Okay.
And that's where we both kind of fell in love with craft beer.
Nice.
You know, Firestone's just down the way.
Yeah.
And I actually got a job with them doing the events.
Oh, cool.
While I was in college.
And nice.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah.
And that really kind of lit that fire.
Dude, they're a great brewery. They're an inspiration and cool people. So I could see how that would make you want to get into the business.
Yeah.
Did you homebrew?
I did. Okay. Yeah, that's how it kind of started. I was actually with a few buddies of mine. We would go study at this little craft beer bar called Spike's back in the day. And they had this back room where it was quiet. There's a bunch of like picnic tables and we'd go there honestly right after they opened and try not to drink for a few hours, get as much homework done as possible.
Yeah.
And then we'd have a beer and they kind of did this really cool thing where it was like a around the world beers. So you had to get a punch card, get your 40 beers from around the world and then you'd get a t-shirt. So it really got me into all these different styles of beers and you had to try them in order to get that t-shirt. And it was kind of this thing between all my buddies and I.
So my only question is how many t-shirts do you have? How many times did you go around
just
the world?
One.
Okay, I got one and I was close to my second one and I was like, you know what? I don't need another shirt. And that's kind of at the time where they were pulling all these cool new beers from California and stuff too.
Okay. Nice.
So they had more than 40 beers. But that was kind of like their worldly beers.
Right.
That they wanted everyone to try. So, yeah.
So what did you study in school? Any sort of science or brewing?
Materials engineering.
Okay.
Yeah. So
close
I was kind
enough.
Of going
yeah.
down a little bit of a different path.
Okay.
And actually here in town, my uncle owns a machine shop.
Okay.
So during the summers, I'd work at the machine shop.
Nice.
And that's where I kind of got interested in engineering and machining and all that. So,
which super helps for your brewery.
Yeah. Yeah.
In
yeah
fact,
it's been great.
I feel like people can learn the ingredient and brewing side. I'm not saying it's easy, by the way, to be a great brewer. I don't think that. But I think you can learn that easier than you can learn the technical manufacturing machining side of a brewery.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it's really, you know, going to Cal Poly for an engineering degree, it's all about learning how to problem solve.
Okay. Nice.
And you know, their whole thing is learn by doing, and that's how I approached brewing. And
now every day is problem solving. So anyways.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like, what, 2% brewing, 98% problem solving.
Exactly. Yeah.
Some cleaning.
Throw the cleaning in there, of course. So was your intention always to come back to South Lake, or did you not know when you left?
I always loved it here, but with it being such a hospitality driven town,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know what was going to be available to me.
Sure.
And Nicole, I'm sure, felt the same way. And so if we were going to move back to town, which we love Tahoe, we had to kind of do our own thing.
Okay.
And so that's where we kind of mixed our hobbies of homebrewing and, you know, trying craft beer and getting interested in that. And then, yeah, let's get back to Tahoe. Let's start a family. Let's start a business.
Nice. And Nicole, same for you. What did you go to school for?
Industrial engineering.
Okay.
With a business minor. So I kind of, you know, it's the other side of running a brewery, honestly. It's all about people, you know, business engineering, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I do all of our finances. I do HR. And we're working on expanding, you know, the HR department here now that we have over 40 plus employees. But yeah, do strategy. I started off as an analyst in the manufacturing world.
Okay.
So I helped with plumbing products for a company called Zurn in Paso Robles, actually.
Okay.
So, you know, that kind of goes back to the whole beer center.
Absolutely.
Of the Central Coast. And yeah, just really always wanted to kind of start my own business. I just didn't have a product until, you know, Chris started homebrewing.
Sure.
So it all
and it fit.
Fell into place.
Oh, that's great. So I love stories like that. And that you got to come home. And you're not, I think, you know, Tahoe's not quite Hawaii with their affinity for locals and foreigners, for lack of a better term, but it's a little strict around here, right?
We go to Kauai, like we've been in Kauai once, and I kid you not, people thought that we were locals.
Okay.
Just because of the same like culture, mentality, mannerisms.
Yeah.
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 It's basically a tropical Tahoe.
Right. And you guys love local here. And honestly, it's part of what I like about being up here. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever eaten at a chain in Tahoe. I drive right past those.
Exactly.
And I try to do that everywhere, by the way. But Tahoe just does have, I think, a unique entrepreneurial spirit, probably for much like what you said, Chris. You got to create your own opportunities unless you're some sort of real specialist, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the town for a long time has been kind of ran with the casinos in mind, the ski resorts in mind, and these are the big conglomerates in town. And if you don't want to be at those places, you gotta work at one of these small businesses and or build your own small business.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. All right. Well, before we have to take a break, tell me about the beer that we're drinking.
Yeah. So we're drinking our South Lake Pilsner. We try to have this on as much as possible during, you know, fall or so. We just don't have the tank capacity to hold a lager for long. But as we're getting out of winter, we take the time to fill the tanks up with a couple lagers during the shoulder season.
Sure.
To then open up for spring and summer with some. So, yeah, we just try to keep this kind of a simple German-inspired Pilsner, Weyermann Pilsner malt, a little bit of acidulated malt. And then we hop it in the kettle a little closer to what we would do with a pale ale. So a decent amount of whirlpool hop charge with Saphir and Tetnang.
Saphir. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It tastes noble. It's good. Yeah. This is a great, pils. And do you filter or is that just fine?
Just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
give it a little bit of time. Fine. The fun one for this, and we've kind of played with it. Speaking of Snowmageddon, we're doing these beers that I'm dubbing the Snow Loggers.
Okay.
And so we're taking our South Lake Pilsner and we're filling it. We're putting it into wine barrels. So white wine barrels.
Nice.
Some of them are kind of neutral at this point. And then so we rack it into the barrels. We stick it outside during the winter and let the snow just bury them for a couple of months. So
nice.
that's our snow lager.
Do you have some out in the snow right
now?
We
do. Yeah. They just like melted out. They're kind of on the side of the building.
But they're I guess with the alcohol, they'll never freeze. It's just keeping them super, super cold.
Yeah. And then just so I have more tank space, let's put it in a barrel. It gets this cool characteristic, a little bit of Chardonnay vibe to it.
Yeah.
That sounds delicious. A little more like acidity. And super refreshing.
And so, it's unique to you.
Yeah, super unique. There's not a lot of places that can do it right now.
That's awesome.
Unless you're in the Sierra Nevadas. So, yeah, it's really fun. We're actually going to be packaging it in cans for the first time in a couple weeks. So,
got it.
Really excited about that.
So, I know that this, just thinking about that and how long it's going to be there, this amount of snow is a bit unprecedented. But how long are you going to have these mountains of snow, do you think? I was thinking like July is still going to be mountains.
You know, that's what everyone's saying, but I have faith it's going to melt pretty quickly. Okay. I mean, this might be our last. It did snow yesterday.
Oh, I know. My pipes in my RV froze last night.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I didn't adequately plan for that. So hopefully they don't burst. I'll find it. Literally, when I get back home, I think I'll find out what's up.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if it's a northern aspect, so it's getting more shade during the day, we might have it till August.
That's what I was thinking, even August. Someone even told me the ski rental place. I was talking about when places close up here. And I mentioned Mammoth saying till the end of July. But that guy said they might actually not close this year.
Really?
Yeah. And I guess it turns out some of the places closed, like Heavenly, is not even about the snow per se. It's about their lease with the Forest Service. So the Forest Service in part tells them when to close. And he was saying that Mammoth isn't really part of that. He thought it was like private. And I just thought, can you imagine a ski resort in California staying open year round? What a wild winter.
I know, right? Global warming, huh?
Global warming. Hey, it has its perks.
Yeah, right? Every now and then. Yeah. One of the things that I heard from the ski resorts this year is that they just had so much trouble keeping people on staff because they were closing. And then the kind of the new cottage industry that popped up this winter was snow shoveling roofs so they don't collapse.
Yeah.
So people were making 70, 80 bucks an hour. So all the lifties were calling in and just saying, hey, I won't be able to make it today.
So I read a little bit about that. You have a local Tahoe paper. And I noticed in it, it's almost all editorial pieces that are written in it. And there's some very angry Tahoeans in there. Fascinating read though. But this one, woman had written that, in the same day, she had a dead battery, a blown out tire because of your pothole situation, and had to pay $2,000 to have her roof dug out. And I just thought, wow, these are problems that not everybody has. That's a lot of money to have your roof. But in some cases, I guess you don't have a choice if it's going to fall, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And was that common up here, people's roofs collapsing?
There's quite a few residential, some of the more flat roofs, like actually our brewery, you know, stuff like this, they were collapsing a lot. Actually across the street, there's a Napa Auto Parts and they had to close for about a week.
Okay.
They had some kind of structural damage happen in the back and then they had to clear all the snow off the flat roof.
Okay.
And then just at the corner of the intersection here, there's a really old, automotive and gas station set up and they had this really big eaves that would be over, you know, the pump station.
Yep.
And it bent and fell vertically.
Wow.
So it was just standing up straight. And I have pictures of it where it just had so much snow that it just broke that off the stand.
That's
and
amazing.
It's sitting 40 feet up in the air, just perfectly vertical in the snow.
That's amazing. All right. Well, let's take a break and we can talk about more of this stuff because it is pretty unique up here and having to work and live through this. So we can talk about more of that. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Session. Hang in there. Welcome back to the program. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. I am still sitting in the tasting room at South Lake Brewing Company. A tasting room and brewery, really. It's all almost one room. And enjoying some great beer. You guys just poured me your Party Laps West Coast Pils and a pale ale. Tell me about the Party Laps first.
Yeah, Party Laps is, if you're from the Tahoe area, you've got buddies that you're going skiing with or mountain biking. A party lap is when you're all just charging down the hill together.
Oh, nice.
And having a hoot. And so had to name it that. It's got Mosaic, Citra, Simcoe. So
heck yeah.
That's the three in the party.
That's delicious.
And just brewed it kind of an American Pilsner and then hopped it like a West Coast Pale.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. So is it the same base malt as your other Pilsner or different?
This one we went with a little bit more of like a North American Pilsner malt.
Okay.
Just to kind of keep it really clean, get that malt character out of the way and just make it really dry.
It's delicious. It is almost other than the color, it is almost like a pale ale, a super light pale ale.
Yeah. Essentially we brewed it just like that, but with lager yeast and Pilsner malt.
Got it. So you did lager it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. You poured this at Spring Brews Festival this
year?
We
did. Yeah. People were stoked on that
one.
Yeah,
that's what Nicole's saying, guys. It was popular.
Yeah.
That's
cool. They kept coming back for more on that one.
Mm-hmm. I would have too. I don't get to enjoy that festival like you guys
didn't
do.
Look like it.
Yeah. Okay. We've got a pale ale in our glass too, which we'll talk about in a second. But let's go back to just some of the unique challenges of being a brewery up here. And maybe not just challenges, but like advantages too. What do you think about that? You guys are somewhat isolated. Is that a challenge?
Yeah. So when we opened in 2017, no one else was brewing a Pilsner, Pilsners. Definitely Pilsners around here, but also like even hazies weren't a thing up here. None of the other breweries had them. People weren't bringing them in from off the hill. So when we first had a hazy on tap, people were like, what the hell is this?
What'd you do?
Yeah. Well, what's wrong with this beer? Until they tried it and they're like, oh, this is cool. This is like totally different. So like training our customers on beer styles that just really haven't hit the area.
Okay.
I've always said we're like 5 to 10 years behind the times.
That's interesting.
Until we opened up.
Yeah.
And right when we opened, we were the largest production facility
just in right
Tahoe
off the bat.
In the area. Yeah.
And no offense, and we're not, but what big. I think of you guys as a pretty small brewery.
We totally are.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We did less than 2,000. Yeah.
Okay.
Just under 2,000 barrels last year. So we do, like Nicole said earlier, we do a decent amount to wholesale. Most of it's going to local restaurants and craft beer bars and ski resorts.
Oh, nice.
But some of it makes it off the hill, Sacramento area, East Bay. And that's really just to kind of get the name out there. Like that's one of the other challenges is like everyone comes to Tahoe and they're either going to go skiing or go to the lake or go on hikes.
Yeah.
And like, how do we make sure people want to enjoy craft beer when they're in Tahoe too?
Sure.
And so we just got to get the name out there.
Do you self-distribute all that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So if I get your beer at the Hop Grenade, you're bringing it to me basically.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And is that because of a lower volume? It's just better to do it that way?
Exactly. Yeah. We can be more flexible and we just don't have the volume to make that like hit on our margins worth it.
Got it.
Not to mention the distributors in California are all up in the works right now. So,
yeah, that's true.
We've definitely thought about it, partnering with somebody, but time will tell.
It does keep getting weirder and weirder. And even at the Hop Grenade, we deal with that. I mean, I think a few weeks ago, all of a sudden beer we could get, we couldn't get because it all just got swallowed up by somebody else. We have to figure out how to buy from them. Yeah, California's distribution market is strange. But at your size, it makes sense to just kind of ride that out for a little while.
I mean, being a California brewery, we have huge, huge rights.
Okay.
Here, not only is self-distribution a thing and a huge advantage to the small brewers, but also, you know, direct-to-consumer rights.
Right.
I can literally ship beer directly to my customers within the state of California.
Do you guys do that through your website?
Yeah, we have an online store.
Okay.
And one of the really cool things is called a bear box, actually. So you pick six single 16-ounce cans, and you get to kind of make your own variety pack.
Heck yeah.
And ship it anywhere in Cali.
That's great. Folks, you can go to southlakebeer.com, I assume, and you can navigate to the online store from there. It's southlakebeer.com. It is great beer. So I suggest you do that. So talking about how you sort of had to introduce and teach people about styles here, what styles did you open with? Did you keep it pretty basic in 2017?
Yeah. When we first opened, we had 3 20-barrel fermenters and a 20-barrel Bright, and we filled those up, got those first beers on tap, and we had a blonde. We had, at that time, a Saison.
Okay.
And kind of our unfiltered West Coast IPA at the time.
Okay.
And we were just selling through those beers like crazy, and we couldn't produce any other beers.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah, just keep going. Because we just like we run out of the batch, and we had to bring it back.
Even the Saison.
That one was the one that took a little bit to fall off, but we did a couple batches of that, and it was exciting for people. And then they're like, Saison, we're kind of over that.
Yeah, you really need to brew it again, though.
So, like,
nice.
The day that we opened, we were finishing up kegging beer, going to put it on tap. We were still trying to get our occupancy permit for in here. And so it all kind of happened within an hour of opening.
Wow.
And we were originally just going to open up to the local homebrew club at the time. And we opened our doors and the place, like, we have pictures of it.
We had 200
people. They
told
all their friends.
Wow.
On Facebook, and it just like blew up. So yeah, this place was shoulder to shoulder.
That's no furniture. Awesome. Absolutely no furniture.
Oh really?
It was like bring your own chair.
Yeah.
But the bar was there.
Bar was open. That's okay. All we had, and it was all standing room only in this, you know, 2,500 square foot tasting room.
Is it weekend?
It was a Tuesday night.
It was a Tuesday night.
That's cool. Wow.
It was so neat.
That's what you want. That's the kind of welcome and opening you want. It's a good omen. Right?
Yeah.
So,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was exciting, but it was like, oh my God, like we just spent all our money on all these tanks.
Right.
And we're not going to have enough beer.
Oh gosh, which is the worst feeling. That is a weird feeling. But you obviously just kept filling them. How long did it take before you could start to rotate in new styles?
So we figured out right away that we needed more tanks. And so within 6 months, we had 4 10 barrel uni tanks.
Okay.
And those were kind of what we were experimenting with.
Got it.
And we still have those back around the corner.
And how many barrels is the brew house?
The brew house is a 10 barrel brew house.
The brew house is 10.
So okay. we're yielding a little bit more out of it, but yeah, we're still doing it. Like, yeah. It's kind of a small scale.
Sure. But it's not just you brewing then, I assume.
No,
that's
a lot
of brewing.
I actually don't do much brewing anymore.
I'm
still working on the recipes and all that and scheduling, but I've got an awesome crew that's helping brew. So we've got, technically another guy who's kind of taken over the head brewing position. And then another brewer as well.
Okay.
And they're just cranking it out.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, it's great.
Do you have time? I assume you guys are a bit outdoorsy, but since opening in 2017, do you remember what the mountains are like? Are you just stuck in here or have you gotten to get out there?
I went skiing like 3 times this year.
Okay.
But for other reasons too. Yeah, because we just opened up the other tasting room, so we've been dedicating a lot of time and effort to that.
That's the one that's, like, how did you call that downtown? Like, down by the casinos?
We're calling it the Libation Lodge by South Lake Brewing Company, so
nice.
We have a whole nother name.
And that's right by the Heavenly Village gondola and close to the casinos and everything, so that's where all the foot traffic is in town. That would be considered our downtown.
Okay.
Here.
That's all the tourist foot traffic.
Exactly.
Right? So, that's another thing that's I think that I like about South Lake, being my own boss, I don't have to come here on weekends. I was here last weekend, took a drive down there on a Saturday. Don't drive down there on a Saturday.
Yeah, it's nice.
No.
Come to the brewery, but.
Come to the brewery, yeah. But by Sunday, even like midday Sunday, apparently everyone leaves early Sunday morning.
Yep.
It was fine again. Mm-hmm. I also, just to throw out some weird, unique Tahoe place. When I found your tasting room there, it was because I was going to some alpaca store, like 3 doors
right
down.
Right next door.
The like super political alpaca store.
Yes.
Right? He like puts
they have alpacas out front, like wearing Trump hats. It's pretty cool.
It's all Trump hats. I was looking for a rug that I cannot afford. And I read the reviews of this place, and all the reviews are like high quality alpaca stuff. Totally crazy owner. So
yeah,
anyway, that's how I found
we love our neighbors there.
He's a character.
He was nice to me.
That shopping center is awesome.
It's like a really cool center.
Yeah,
you have a new pho place right next to you.
We do.
I'm telling you, I'm like a local now. I've scoped out everything.
Okay.
I didn't try the pho place yet, but I will. I'm gonna go have a beer and check that out. So what about another thing that's unique in Tahoe? Everybody says that Tahoe has the best drinking water in California. How does that equate to brewing?
Yeah. So, our water, super unique up here. We're just basically pulling it out of a giant granite bowl. So it doesn't have time to filter through, you know, all different kinds of sediment. It's just sitting here right in this granite bowl.
Right.
So with that, all the water itself, very few salts in it.
Okay.
Very soft water. We barely do anything to our water other than just do a quick carbon filter.
Okay.
To remove any chlorine that the utility district adds to it.
Got it.
And
Do you add salts then if it's such a low?
Yeah. So for say like our Party Lapse Pilsner or South Lake Pilsner that we started with, just enough to get a little bit of calcium in there.
Okay.
Help with yeast health and all that. And then, you know, with that, we can adjust. We can make something that would be kind of like an English you know, pale or IPA water,
sure,
super hard, or, you know, we can leave it soft. We can adjust it accordingly. So we're not having to use like RO water or anything like that.
But it's about as close to RO as you can get, I guess, yeah, from a natural source.
Exactly.
So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. And by the way, it is great drinking water. Like, I will be emptying my RV tank, mm-hmm, that hopefully didn't crack when it froze, and filling it with drinking water from here to go home with.
Yes.
Yeah, straight from the top. It's delicious.
It's so good. Yeah, I'm taking home 80 gallons of that stuff. Okay. It is very nice. So that's good. And is that something that you thought about before coming here, or just sort of an afterthought?
We always knew the water was great growing up here. Everyone's like, oh my God, the water's delicious.
Yeah.
So we knew it would be great for brewing. And then when I sent it out to get tested, it's like, oh wow, there's like barely anything in here.
Right.
And then it just, yeah, dawned on me. Okay, I don't have to worry about RO. Don't have to worry about any type of extra filtration. So
that's great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, tell me about this pale ale, because this is something to me, and not because I'm the scientist that knows how to do it, just from doing this show. Water is super important in a pale ale because it should be a delicate beer that the hops shine. And so, tell me about the pale.
Yeah. So this is our Trailbuilder pale ale. We've been doing this one since close to the beginning, and really just kind of took it on as like, this is going to be the South Lakes version of the Sierra Nevada pale.
Nice.
Just like ubiquitous American pale.
Yeah.
So we definitely start with Cascade hops, and then we're like, okay, what'll set it apart a little bit? So we started adding a little bit of Idaho 7 and Citra.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Kind of wanted that typical grapefruit aromatics, but add a little bit of that like soft, dank character Citra, and then Idaho 7 just has a kind of a mind of its own.
Yeah,
a little bit of that extra tropical and black tea vibe. Mm-hmm. And then the water, we do add a little bit of salt, so this one is about a 2-to-1 ratio gypsum to calcium chloride.
Okay.
To kind of build that water up.
Yeah.
And then almost split evenly between just regular 2-row and Maris Otter.
Okay.
And then we throw a little bit of flaked wheat in there just for body.
Nice. So it's the Maris Otter that I pick out of this beer every time. And by the way, this is the first beer I have every time I come here.
Oh, no way.
Right. Yeah. Well, I always, I love pale ales anyway. So most places I'll at least once, it's the first beer I go for, but then it's not always, I don't always return to it. Cause to me, it's hard to make a good pale ale. You guys have nailed it. So, well, I do always have this one.
Appreciate it. Yeah. We go through iterations with this beer. It's mostly on the hopping side.
Okay.
Do we want it a little more hoppy? What are we looking for exactly? We've actually toned down the salts a little bit on it just to kind of get it a little bit softer.
Okay.
So that's kind of what we've been working at. But yeah, this is just kind of what I want to drink.
Yeah.
You know, it's also why we're playing with the West Coast Pilsners, because it's kind of like you said.
Yeah.
It's got that pale ale, hoppy pale ale vibe, and just even crispier.
Sure. Well, and yeah, some people make their pale ales like your hoppy pills, and that's about my limit for a light pale. Like, I'd actually prefer not to have it that light.
Yeah, it needs to have a little bit more balance with that malt character.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we're shooting for with the Trailbuilder. And the cool story about the Trailbuilder is we actually brew this in support of TAMBA, which is the local mountain bike association.
Nice.
So we give back a little bit with this beer.
Oh, that's
to help
great.
Build trails.
That's great. Yeah, and that's kind of that's a big thing for Tahoe residents. Sounds like a silly way to say it, but almost everything I buy here has an option to donate to the Tahoe Fund or the Trails Fund or the Mountain Fund. Like, there's a bunch of, and it's great. It's like a dollar. So I'm always like, yeah, I'm a visitor. Take my dollar, you know. So that's good that you guys do that too.
Yeah, I think it's great to make the tourists aware that, like, the stuff just doesn't pop up by itself. Like,
right,
it takes. And most of the time it's locals putting in the work, putting in the time to, whether it's work on trails that people are going to ride or hike or, you know, clean up the lake or something
sure.
like that. So just getting that awareness to everyone who comes and enjoys, you know, the outdoor amenities that we have here.
Right.
Is pretty important to everyone who lives here.
Sure. Well, let's talk about that for a second. And I think it's part of your seasonality, but also, you know, in the Bay Area, we hear about the exodus from the Bay Area, right? And with remote working, you know, how many people tried to move here or did move here, and how many homes got bought. And you know, we don't have to complain about that if you don't want, but I'm more curious that, how that affected business during COVID. Now, I know, Nicole, you said you were shut down a couple times, just like we were.
Right.
But when you opened back up, did you find not only your regulars, but a ton of new faces that have moved here? Or did you not really see that so much?
You know, it was hard to tell at first.
Okay.
Like, whether they were regulars that, you know, had lived here previously versus Bay Area transplants,
yeah,
if you want to call them
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
yeah. Thank you for coming here and supporting us.
Of course,
us.
Yeah.
Of course. But, yeah, I don't know. I think COVID 2020 was just a really different year for everyone. Before we could open again, which I believe was on May 16th, 2020,
mm-hmm.
We were actually, again, going back to that direct-to-consumer vibe. Like, I was on the online store all the time, daily, updating inventory, updating the cans available, the crowlers, etc. And people could order beer, and we would personally deliver it to their homes,
yeah,
with gloves and a mask. And like,
sure, I did the same thing.
ISO. You know, so we did that for a little while. We continued to do that throughout the summer, actually, where we could, if you ordered a certain amount, we would deliver it for free.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the summer of 2020, because everyone knew that we were open again,
mm-hmm.
That Tahoe was the best place to go, you know,
to be outside
yeah, before they closed down the beaches and did all that. I mean, we were packed, like, in June of 2020, I think, was a big one. July, August, even through historically, October is a really slow month for Tahoe. And October 2020 was like one of our best months of the year.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was so cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, we continue to partner with food trucks and food vendors, and just, you know, huge shout out to them, because we don't have a kitchen on site here at this location.
Okay.
Because of those food vendors, we were able to open back up and sell draft.
Sure. Yeah, that sort of, and that saved everybody. It's the same as down in the Bay Area too. And the ABC, I mean, I've heard people complain about the ABC for years until COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to admit, at least I do, that they really bent over backwards to allow breweries, license holders like me, to change the rules a little bit, bend the rules a little bit to you know, and they're still doing some of those, by the way, like the being able to use adjacent spaces still so that you can have more outdoor property. So,
yeah, when we opened the beer garden, actually, I think it was the day of sometime during the summer of 2020 when Newsom declared that you can only consume food and alcohol like outside.
Right.
Right. And yeah, so it was conveniently, we opened this 1,000 square feet beer garden on the side of our brewery. So,
yeah.
And that's a permanent space.
Oh, nice.
Now. So
that's great.
That's really great too.
Yeah. Yeah. It just kind of fast tracked some of that stuff. Like, yeah, you probably would have been able to do that anyway, but the process would have just been a little bit harder.
So, correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's good to hear that the Bay Area transplants and the visitors. I mean, because I know it's not all bad. It's a tourist town, right?
Yeah.
But there is a definite impact of all of us coming up here. And so, like you said, these programs to sort of teach people and allow us to contribute, I think, is pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, just like anything, when you go to visit a place, like, respect the place, respect the people that live there, and don't trash our town.
Right.
And as long as you're doing that and respecting our gorgeous lake and community, like,
come on up.
More than welcome, in my opinion.
Right. So I wish sometimes that I had like a B-side to my podcast where we actually would trash talk all this stuff, where, you know, and I get to hear the stories about, can you imagine that this person did this?
We had those stories flying.
I bet.
That couple of years during COVID. I mean, this was basically, you know, all of California's backyard. Tahoe became the place to just get away. And, you know, we were a little more lax on all the restrictions here.
Sure.
Because we didn't have the population. So, yeah, we're getting some interesting characters in town. And I feel like they hadn't been social in
a
while.
I think that's hard for everyone. So in fairness, kind of what you're saying, we had that in the Bay Area too, where some people coming into the Hop Grenade, and I was like, oh yeah, you haven't been out in a long, long time, and it shows. You are being a dick.
Exactly.
And I was working very closely with my staff then, so like more than ever. When we opened, I was mostly running the brewing network, but once COVID hit, I needed to be there. And so I didn't experience it as much as they had until that time, and then I was like, oh, you guys are all saints. I've never loved my staff so much than during that time, and still now they're still dealing with some of that. Well, I know we're running out of time, so that you can open your tap room, but maybe just what's next for you guys? Are you looking for a bigger brewery? Do you love it just right here being small? What are you thinking?
So it's been pretty exciting with the, as you can see, the brewery's kind of starting to take over the tap room.
You got your canning line right here.
Yeah.
I love that your canning line is like the fence between the tasting room and the brewery.
It's exciting when we're canning and people are showing up to come in here. It's pretty loud, but everyone's super interested in checking it out. So we have a little bit of space to shoehorn in a couple more tanks, but we're getting to the max right now. And, you know, with that, you know, we want to be able to brew beer more efficiently, make more beer, of course. So like Nicole said, we have the Libation Lodge now. That's our auxiliary tasting room and kitchen.
And no brewery there. Just
no brewery. Yeah. Okay. So it's kind of yet to be seen how much beer we're going to go through over there.
Sure.
Like Nicole said, we did about 40% of our volume last year through this tasting room.
Yeah.
So we're definitely going to have to eat a little bit of our wholesale to go to that second tasting room.
How long has it been open over there?
Just
3 weeks.
Yeah. Just okay. So yeah. You really are just figuring it out. Okay.
Yeah. 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 We opened during our little shoulder season here. So,
okay.
We weren't quite at full capacity with our current setup. So we're probably last year at about 75%.
Okay.
So we can eke out a little bit more here, but yeah, I think we want to find another spot to build a production facility that's more efficient.
Nice.
And, we want to keep it in town. One of the things we wanted to do when we moved back to Tahoe is, okay, if we're going to start a business, let's not just make jobs that are found throughout Tahoe.
Okay.
You know, that hospitality thing, that's of course a portion of it.
Sure.
But we wanted to be able to bring manufacturing jobs back to the area and just something that's like, you know, a little bit more well-rounded of a business.
Sure.
So.
And creating careers in that sense, exactly. Just some longevity there. Yeah. I like that. It's a good idea.
It's really exciting to see our employees kind of grow with the company and more opportunities expand as we, you know, are able to sell more beer.
Sure.
The sky's the limit, honestly, with us. I mean, the dream, you know, just to throw it out there, is to become a destination brewery with maybe even a hotel component or an outdoor event space or something like that. But the second production facility in town is definitely our next step.
Sure.
It's exciting.
You got to build up to that. That's a great idea. I love that vision. And why not for a place like this? I think that really fits. That's a good
idea. It makes sense. People are already coming here for Tahoe, but it would be amazing for someday they come here because of Tahoe and South Lake Brewing Company.
Totally. I love that. Well, the beer's already there, so that you're starting off well.
Perfect.
Do that. I'll be telling people go there. You're my destination brewery here.
Perfect.
I did visit another one in town for the first time, and they had pretty decent beer too.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But yours is my go-to. And then just for my own curiosity, if it was a normal winter, because we talked about it being seasonal here. So on a more normal winter, is it busier up here in the winter or the summer?
It's summer.
It's always
down.
Summer. Okay.
It's always summer.
Okay.
Yeah. Think about it. I mean, not everyone skis, not everyone snowboards, not everyone has the ability to do that. But you have the ability to come up, see the snow, you know, or during the summer or even during the winter, go see the lake.
Yeah.
And then come have a beer. So.
Okay. But I guess you get all the campgrounds full in the summer.
Yeah.
The casinos are full.
The
lake
concerts.
Is full. The concerts. Okay. So that makes sense. Yeah. It's always going to be summer. And so that's what you guys are ramping up for now.
Yeah, exactly.
This long winter being behind you.
We throw an anniversary party every Memorial Day weekend.
Okay.
And then that's kind of our kickoff for the summer. So
nice.
We've got a couple beers that we're about to brew for kind of like we always do some collabs for the anniversary. So we're getting excited about that. And then, yeah. And then summer hits and it's off to the races.
Okay. All right. Well, so if you haven't been and you're looking for an excuse, Memorial Day weekend is a good time to come up. You get some unique beer. Who are you doing your collabs with? Can I ask that?
So we've got three set up. We're going to do one with Alibi, and they're in Incline Village on the other side of the lake. We're going to do one with Teresa over at Crooked Lane.
Yes.
So we're stoked about that one.
Awesome.
And then Andrew at Flatland.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Oh, those are some good ones.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Did you guys just do the music festival that was up here somewhere? Teresa was sending me pictures of it. It was some big old...
No, we didn't get
That's
to go
Truckee.
That one. It's in Truckee. Yeah. Okay. She's so. Closer to that.
I didn't
that.
Know where it was exactly. Okay. Yeah, that looked like a good one.
Yeah. That one's fun.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me here. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
The beer is fantastic. I'm going to say of the three we tried today... I'm with my festival people. It's the party laps that I really, really... That's probably my favorite one. I'm going to be coming back for that this week.
That one needs to come back, I think.
Yeah.
Are we on your last of it right now?
I think we have half a keg left.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'll have to come back tonight then, I guess. So, yeah, thank you. The beer is great, and I do really appreciate the time. I want to thank you again for participating in Spring Brews Festival. You always have a spot there if you want it. So, yeah, and keep up the good work. I'm looking forward to watching you guys grow, and I'll go check out the tasting room downtown, too.
Yeah, sounds appreciate good. It.
Yeah, cheers.
All right. Well, thank you to our sponsors today. Thanks to More Beer for bringing you this show like they always do. Thanks to 21st Amendment. Their watermelon wheat is back. Go check it out at a store near you. And of course, go to southlakebeer.com where you can get all the info you need about visiting here. Maybe where you can find the beer. Might be a beer locator on there. And you can certainly order it directly mailed to your house within California, of course. Can we do 5 minutes of like rapid fire questions for you guys?
Sure.
Definitely.
It's not beer stuff.
All right. Let's do it.
Chris, if you were to get a tattoo today, what would it be?
Ooh. It would be our bear logo.
Oh, I like your bear logo.
Yeah, it's pretty unique. It's kind of a geometric bear that has Ursa Major constellation in it. So I think that would be it.
That's a dope tattoo. I like that idea. Nicole. If you go out to a restaurant and your food is bad, do you send it back or do you just deal with
it? No, I was so close a couple months ago to send it back. But I feel like now that we've opened a kitchen, I understand.
Yeah.
I know why. It's very difficult and challenging to run a kitchen, but we got it. But no, I'm not the type of person to ever do that, honestly.
I have to send it back more. I'm allergic to dairy. So if they accidentally throw like cheese on my burger or something like that,
you gotta send
I have to send it back.
Yeah. See, that's
this
fair.
Would kill
like
me.
A dick. Yeah, I would feel less bad about that. I'm like 50-50 on it, by the way, Nicole. I do feel bad when I do it. So sometimes I'll just, if it's not that bad, I just suck it up. Chris, okay. Aside from brewing, what talent could be anything? Would you like to possess if you could?
Ooh,
you know, you could be like a singer. You could, I mean, just anything that you've ever thought of. What talent that you don't have did you ever wish you had?
Oh, man. Something I haven't really thought about.
You've got all the talents you need.
Yeah. I mean, I love skiing. I'm okay at that. I've been doing it all my life and mountain biking.
You don't have some secret dream to be like a cellist or something?
You know what? I never learned to play any musical instrument. So I would say probably like playing guitar or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. That's like the one thing I missed out.
Okay.
Like starting young.
Yeah.
We love punk rock and like going to
shows and stuff.
Shows and, you know, live music.
Heck yeah.
The best.
Do you have a secret talent you wish you possess, Nicole?
Ooh. I don't know.
Being just taller.
Blind. Yeah.
That's a talent.
I'm 5 foot on a good day.
Okay. Yeah.
Being taller. No. I would say probably the ability to communicate exactly how that person needs to be communicated to.
Oh, that's a good skill.
There we go.
That's a
so
great
we don't
skill.
Have any conflict.
Right. Yeah. Ooh, that's a new one.
That's a great idea.
I'm a communication major. I didn't think of that. That's a great skill. Okay. I like that one. Okay. And then last one for Chris. What's your favorite non-South Lake beer right now? Ooh. Something that, you know, even if it's just whatever's always in your fridge, or if it's a new one that you're just into right now, anything.
I've been really stoked on what the guys at Wondrous have been doing down the bay. I had a couple of their lagers at the Spring Brews Fest. Those were really good.
Yeah, his lagers are great.
I really miss Pale 31.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
And that's kind of what set me off. You know, I said Trailblazer was kind of like our Sierra Nevada, but I originally got the idea of brewing pails, home brewing, by drinking Pale 31. So
nice.
It's kind of the non-existent one in my fridge.
I think you're getting there. The main difference on yours from Pale 31 to me is a firmer bitterness.
Yes.
On yours. The Pale 31 always had just that super soft bitterness. And actually, I go back and forth between what I want. Sometimes I want the firmer bitters like yours. Sometimes I want that smoother one like theirs.
And that's one issue we have up here. I don't know if it's because we boil at a lower temperature.
Oh,
we boil at about 203 degrees here.
Okay.
Because we're at 6,200 foot elevation. But I don't know if it's something with isomerizing the hop oils and alpha acid.
Right. That's interesting.
Like sometimes we have to hit it with more hops than we think to get that like assertive bitterness.
Okay. So
that's something we're always playing with.
I should have asked about that with the differences of brewing up here. I forgot about the elevation.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of them.
9 degree difference. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's quite a lot.
Yeah, it's a trip. And then stuff like that and like carbonating the beers properly. There's a difference between, you know, the tank pressure and the gauge pressure and all that. So sometimes we have to overcompensate our carbonation. So then when we send it off the hill, that it has kind of the carbonation that we intended it to have
at
the tap room.
That's some experimentation you've had to do right there.
Yeah, yeah. And we still don't have it perfect.
That's fair. Well, this is great for me because I'm going to be coming up here a lot more. So the disadvantage of not doing 3-hour shows anymore is that we have so much more to talk about. But the advantage is we'll just do this again.
Exactly.
We have tons to talk about. Well, thank you again for having me. I really appreciate it. Once again, folks, go to southlakebeer.com. You can learn all about their stories there. It's a great website. And come visit them up here if you're coming to Tahoe. And be nice to their town when you come here.
Exactly.
I'm like adopting it as my town too. So I feel like a certain protectiveness.
Honorary local.
Yeah,
for Justin.
Exactly. All right, folks. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll see you next time. Take care of yourselves and your beer.
The Session is a production of the Brewing Network and brought to you by More Beer. Check them out at morebeer.com. Find more content and live video of this show on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/brewingnetwork. For sponsorship opportunities and information, please reach out to advertising@thebrewingnetwork.com. To reach our hosts, contact feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com.